You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. And if this is your first time, welcome. If you don't know, Odyssey, Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you can download it wherever you get your podcasts. Getting a great start here on 2024. And I've been doing a lot of YouTube as well. Kane Collects on YouTube. I'm posting up videos of local card pickups, local card show pickups. I also do, now I'm starting to open up some retail product and things like that and wax. And I'm on Instagram at Kang Collects, K-H-A-N-G Collects. And without further ado, I'd like to bring in Jason Luton, the owner of Luton Sports Cards and Collectibles. Jason, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, man. Great to be here.
Absolutely. And actually, on my latest YouTube, or one of my YouTubes, I don't know how many behind people are, but I get a mega box of Prizm Football 2023, which seems to be like the product of the year right now. And yes, I know the year is only 2 weeks old, but everyone's chasing CJ Stroud. I picked up my mega box from Luton Sports Cards and Collectibles, great shop. And I pulled, I got more than my money's worth, which is hard to do sometimes. Jason, I appreciate the deal on the mega. And everyone, go check out his shop if you have a chance. Where are you located, Jason?
Yeah, we're in downtown Clawson at 18 South Main Street, just south of 14 Mile Road. We're right next to the Magic Wonderland Chop, Cave, and then everybody knows Whiskey Taco, Foxtrot.
Nice. And are you on social media, Facebook, Instagram, or anything like that?
Yeah, so we do a lot with our Facebook page and try to add in a lot of the new products that come in. We, kind of post those up there. We do Instagram as well, and a lot on eBay as well too. We do a lot of stuff on eBay.
And you have a pretty cool trade night as well. I don't know how often you do it, but I haven't gotten out to one, but I've heard people that have been there and they really enjoy it, right?
Yeah, so we try to do it every month, but it doesn't always work out that way. Just with during holiday times, it's tough to do it. January is also a tough month. I know at Tops, we have a webinar meeting coming up this week, and I think we're going to have one of those another Tops Rip Night events coming out probably in February, right around the release of Tops Series 1 Baseball, which is on Valentine's Day.
Nice. And so, like I mentioned, I grabbed a mega box from your store. I love a couple of things I love about your store is you always have a ton of wax available, which I like to see on shelves at local card shops. And you also have a new arrival showcase, for singles that come in and out. So I like that as well. Is that something that you just, what do you kind of try to focus on with your shop? And, what have you found that works for you?
So obviously, the thing that brings a lot of the new collectors in is the new wax, right? Because they get back into it. They see these videos online. They watch these hits get pulled, and they the new product comes in, and they want to go try their hand at getting a big hit, right? So then that's obviously something that you need to have, and you got to have it priced at a reasonable price, because everybody knows what the going market is, right? You can just type it in on eBay. You can go on Dave and Adams. You can go on Blowout. It's all right in front of you. So, you've got to have those direct accounts. You've got to have the allocations to get those products into people's hands at reasonable prices. And then I see people kind of go back after they've opened some boxes and maybe weren't successful, and then they get into the singles. And I think, you just got to have a good mix of both.
So you're a newer shop, but you're not new in the game. You've been, collecting, investing for a long time. Tell me how you got your start and why you decided to open up a card shop.
So probably 33 years ago, because I'm 43 now, about 10 years old, they started going to card shows with my dad. They had Gibraltar Trade Center. My dad set up at card shows. And I just kind of, spiraled into the, probably about 18, right when I graduated high school, I really started getting into it even more. Then eBay came around that time. And I mean, I remember selling on eBay. It's just funny. There was no scans. It was just you typed in the card you had. You literally mailed it in a white envelope and you just put a stamp on it.
And you hope and pray it got there.
And I would get personal checks in the mail money orders. And it was just, it's funny to see how it's changed.
Wow.
And I think after like went to college, had a real job for maybe say 2-3 years, kept doing the eBay on the side, realized that was really my passion and just kind of went all in about 2005 full time.
Nice.
Did a lot of eBay, did a lot of card shows, a lot of just, you know, hustling.
Yeah. What made you want to go do the brick and mortar?
Well, so like I had, my dad had a toy store in Birmingham called Adventures and Toys, and I was able to get direct accounts through that toy store because we've had an area there with cards, packs, boxes. And I think when he just decided that he was ready to retire and be done with his little adventure, you know, for me to continue to have the allocations, I had to have a brick and mortar store. And I have something I've always wanted to do. I've been looking into it for maybe 4 or 5 years. And I kind of like sat back and just kind of looked at people that were having success. And I tried to take little things from them and just kind of put it into like maybe my little touch.
Nice. And yeah, I mean, if it was your passion and you enjoy doing it, you know, it doesn't feel as much as work, even though it is still work and you still got to pay the bills and it's a numbers game, margins and things like that, I'm sure, right? So it hasn't turned into like complete work for you yet, or is it, you know, is it still fun? Is it still the passion?
So don't get me wrong. I love going to, you know, it's fun to have a place that you just want to go to in the morning. You know, is there certain aspects of it that are, you know, seem like work? Yeah. I mean, I don't enjoy sleeving and top loading and pricing and comping cards nonstop because the singles sell pretty well. But that's just part of the game. You know, that's it. You know, it's just, you know, I just try to find like a little happy medium each day with maybe a couple hours doing this, an hour doing this, and not too much of one thing.
All right. So let's get right into the hobby talk. I mentioned already a couple times that I went and bought a Mega of 2023 NFL Prism. I personally find the Megas more of a value than the Blaster box, because if you don't want to buy a hobby box, they're $800 plus. I mean, and good luck maybe even find it at $800 at this point. So this product has it been flying off the shelves for you, Blasters, Megas, hobbies? I mean, is this just CJ Stroud season? He just won a playoff game. The guy looks to be amazing. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year, deservingly so. But you also have Anthony Richardson in the class, Will Levis, you know. I mean, what's up? I mean, do you see this product still being hot for a while here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything left. It's all gone.
Wow.
I mean, to be honest, it's pretty tough. Panini allocations are pretty tight, so there's not a lot to go around to begin with, at least for myself. Yeah, I mean, because like the next couple releases are like Absolute comes out this week, and then you've got Phoenix, and I think, you know, Absolute has the Kaboom Chase, you know, so people will probably get a little excited about that product. Phoenix is a nice product. The secondary market just doesn't support the single, so like it's a tough break, to be honest, at the current like pre-sale price. I just think Prism will be king until probably you see Optic come out, because it's around that same price point. Mm-hmm. So I think Prism will be king for a while.
Wow. I mean, you're still trying to get some boxes in, or I mean, I feel like unless some places are really overpriced, they probably won't even have them in store, right?
No. I mean, if you're selling them, like we got the value packs in this week, and I put them, I didn't gouge. Like people want 25, 30 bucks online. I sold them for $15, like they're in the store. Uh-huh. I just limited them to 4 per person, mm-hmm. and all 20 boxes we were allocated were gone instantly.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got a good price on them. So people are like, hey, you know, I'll take 4, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think people that didn't even care for football were like, oh, well, it's Prism. I, you know, if you're in the hobby, you're seeing Prism breaks now, because that's what everybody's talking about. So,
I mean, the CJ Stroud 1/1 card has already been pulled. Do you feel like it's going to slow down the product at all? Or you feel like, hey, there's others still, you know, his gold and maybe Anthony Richardson, whoever, is still enough out there to keep chasing?
Yeah, I don't think that means anything, to be honest with you, because like, I think we're at the point now where a lot of the boxes have been ripped, and the people that have quantities left will just, they're going to hold their price. They're going to hold the market, and you're not going to get, I mean, I think my distributor offered 3 boxes up to us today at $9.45 is the cost. So like I it's not going down. I mean, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
It's supply demand. I mean, it's just the breakers. If the breakers can break it, and they can sell their brakes, they're going to pay whatever it takes to get it because they need product. And it's just that product's never, ever going to go down.
Wow. I mean, is this one something maybe if you got a box, would you hold it?
Yeah. I mean, so if you look at the history of Prism, I mean, it takes one guy to make the product just be at that price forever, right? So like Mahomes will always carry 17. I think Allen's the year after, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, you go to like 2020, you even had like Burrow, Herbert.
Oh, they got like three or four guys. Now Jordan Love, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love, and then you have Jefferson, and you have CeeDee Lamb. You have so many guys. And I just think that there's probably a couple other guys in this year's product that, you know, we don't even know if they're going to be superstars. Like, what if Aiden O'Connell's good? What if you know, Jordan Addison's a superstar? What if, you know, who knows?
No, that's a great call. I mean, look at the, I think the LaMelo Ant-Man year. Look at Tyrese Haliburton now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is like there's always a couple guys that kind of sneak up and you're like, oh, yeah, they're in there too.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to have your lead guy, your Stroud, your Richardson, you know, those guys.
Yeah, but if you even just have, like you said, one, I mean, Mahomes is quite the ceiling, but like if Stroud can carry this whole year, then that'd be big. But
Right. The last year, so.
Yeah. Speaking of new product and things like that, switch to basketball real quick. Big news in the hobby this past week was LeBron James. It wasn't really a secret. Obviously, once his deal with Upper Deck ran out, everyone kind of knew he was going to go to Fanatics. And it became official. LeBron James signs with Fanatics. So he'll be, signing cards for Fanatics products. And the first card is going to come out already in January. It's 2023-2024 Bowman Chrome University, right?
Correct. Yeah, that comes out on Wednesday.
Yeah, and that is he's going to do a 101 card with him and his son Bronny. How do you feel about this being a chase card? And is this the only card? I mean, I don't know the checklist. I don't know if you do. What else is in this product? I mean, has he signed multiple cards in this product as well?
So from what I've been told is that this is the only autograph in the whole product for him.
Oh wow!
So. I mean, there's going to be obviously hype around the card. There's going to be hype around LeBron James back in, you know, getting in with Fanatics. And I don't know what to say about this product, because if there's just one, I mean, it's going to be tough, right? I mean, I haven't seen a checklist either. I was kind of hoping, being a basketball product, that they might, you know, somehow slip some type of Victor Wembanyama autograph in there.
So, I mean, we spoke earlier just a second ago about how CJ Stroud, the 101, got pulled, and you don't think it's slowing down the hype at all. What if this, Nick, what if the Breakers pull this 101 Bronny James and LeBron card within the first few days? What happens to the product after that?
Whew, man, that's a tough one. I this is a different one, because this is, you know, like with Stroud, there's golds, there's out of 15s, 25s, yep. There's case hit ones. This would be tough, because like, what are you chasing? Like, we haven't seen a checklist. I mean, obviously Bronny's got autos in there, right? But he already had them in the McDonald's, so.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, like, there's got to be something else that they're gonna, like, you know, that you're gonna see with the checklist that comes out, I would assume tomorrow, or, you know, on release day.
Okay. And I'm assuming you're going to try to have that product in the shop.
Yeah. Well, we got it Wednesday for sure. It's we get it tomorrow, I believe. So.
Okay. Nice. All right. Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. You know, the hobby, and how, you know, I've spoken about it a few times already. But your thoughts on the Breakers? Is it a necessary evil? I don't want to. You know, I'm not big on getting in breaks. That's just my personal opinion. I don't tell people how to spend their money, you know, and I understand, because sometimes hobby boxes are just too expensive. And the only way you can get involved is to get into a break. How do you feel about Breakers and just that whole thing in general, that genre of the hobby?
Well, I think, you know, they've really helped the hobby, just because, you know, if you look at, like, before breaking, the cards didn't have, it was like eBay card shows, and now these breaks are going, they're all over the place. People are, you know, going through their feeds and seeing these one-on-ones, these cards get hit. It's great. It's hard to say, because like they've also, you know, I think for hobby boxes, they've really raised the price because of, you know, their willingness to pay whatever. And, you know, there's been a little, you know, greed that way, but, it's been great for the hobby overall. Don't get me wrong. I think there's good and bad to it. Definitely good. It gets people in the hobby. The bad is, you know, the addiction, right? Like, I've had multiple people come in the store and sell me big old collections of stuff that said that they spent X and they know it's not worth even close to that. And they just want to get some money out and they got to be done doing this breaks. Cause it was like, you know, it was getting to be too much for them. So there's that issue, but you know, I mean, if you can just have fun with it and, you know, stay within your means, breaks are great. Right.
Yeah. I mean, just like anything else, people, you gotta, you know, be responsible with it. You know, it is a gamble. I have a few friends who've just gotten into it and they weren't even as big into cards until recently. And they got into breaks and they said, hey man, this is kind of addicting. I'm like, hey, just be careful. It can add up quick. You also, I think the other thing about breakers and breaking in general is one bad apple can ruin the whole bunch. You know, like you hear these stories about you're not getting cards. They're not upstanding breakers, I guess you say. And who do you believe? Who do you trust? And they always say, oh, you know, just make sure you break with who or get into breaks that you trust. But no one's getting into a break they don't trust, I guess. So, I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, some people have said, hey, they've been shady, you know?
Right. Well, so like whenever you have a market that's hot and popular, there's going to be a bunch of people that run to it that want to try to make their money, you know? So I think there wasn't there like an NFL player doing like Pokemon breaks or something?
Yeah, I think Blake Martinez.
Yes. And he kind of got, I don't know the whole story. I just know that he's back in the NFL and not doing breaks. you know, I mean, obviously, I've heard so many bad things and experiences on, you know, different platforms of, you know, this guy, they show all these videos that, you know, you're like, oh, watch him switch this card. And it's tough because, you know, you like to think that everybody's in, you know, just, you know, wants you to hit. And I mean, when people come into my store and they're buying these expensive boxes and then God forbid they actually open it in the store, I get nervous. I'm like, oh no, what if this is really bad? Like, you know, I want this guy to hit, you know, a great card and at worst break even. Right.
Right.
You know, but the truth of the matter is that just doesn't happen every time. So
yeah. Well, I was going to say, as a card shop owner, do you want someone to open the box in card or do you not? You just said you're nervous.
It's tough, dude. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love when the people are ripping boxes and stuff. But, like, I hate to see, like, some kid save up a bunch of money, buy a $200 hobby box and get nothing. Yeah. You know, that's why a lot of the kids, I tell them, hey, man, grab a $25 blaster and buy a really nice card. You get some free pie, you get some pack opening in and, you know, you're going to get something you like.
Yeah, I don't do a ton of ripping product because it's that the money is just, it's hard to make your money back. It really is. You gotta be lucky. I found that out through trial and error through the years. And plus, I had terrible pack luck. And maybe it's for good reason now that I don't buy packs. Because I think if you do hit one, you feel like you can hit again, you know? And I never really hit. So I always buy singles. And you know, IPC Jordan, and he could get expensive. So I'm better off buying him, seeking out the card I want instead. But now, I try to buy based on like what can I get possibly something for not spending too much. And so but I do like to rip because it is fun, man. That's where it all started, right? When you were a kid and you had a few bucks or your parents gave you some money, like that's, you started opening packs. You didn't buy singles when you were young.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I still rip all the time. Like we're big into hockey, me and my son, and we still rip a good amount of hockey. And
it's fun, right? You don't know what you're going to get. You can't wait to get the cards.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I buy into the hype too, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm going to hit this Connor Bedard, I'm going to hit this.
I mean, sometimes that's your only chance to get that big card is to rip packs because the card itself is too expensive.
Yep, yep. And like, you know, I've kind of like been watching all the people break and I've been opening boxes and cases and stuff for God knows how long. And you almost have to add in like a 30% to 40% fun factor.
Just yeah, right. Exactly. It's like Vegas. It's entertainment value. You know, yes. You're sitting at entertainment value, you know?
Yep. 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 And then if you hit, then it's just that much better.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, you know, I talk about like the breakers getting all the hits, but actually I've seen some, you know, you guys have posted some hits at your shop and some big hockey cards have been pulled in shop, huh? Can you tell the people about what some of the big cards that have been pulled?
So so yeah, like this year's this hockey class is kind of like your 2022 or 2020 football class, you know, that's loaded, like, you know, with all those quarterbacks like Burrow, Herbert, Tua, you know, Jordan Love now, and all those receivers like CD and Jefferson. There's just a lot of good players, like Connor Bedard being the head guy, and they came out with a product about probably about a month ago now, Artifacts Hockey, and they have a bunch of different like redemptions that you can get, like the Blackhawks, you know, rookie level one autograph patch, and but they did do a like a Canada Team Canada autograph patch from the World Juniors numbered to 36 only in the product, and two of them somehow got pulled out of our shop so far. Yeah, those cards are, they're beautiful. And it was like numbered one of 36, and I think it was like 23 of 36.
So two of 36 in that shop.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
that the odds are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I know a breaker that's local, that's pretty big on Whatnot for hockey. And I want to say they have done 25 cases and have not hit one. So it's obviously, you know, it's a needle in a haystack, essentially.
That's awesome. And so that's why I asked you, like, do you want someone to open in shop or not? Because to see that it would be awesome, and you get to post that, hey, this was hit here, but you know as well as I do, it just, more times than not, it's just not going to happen, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. Like, but when it does happen, it's pretty sweet. You know, like, I remember I can't remember the product. It was a Luka. Oh, what did they hit? It was a Luka one of one out of Contenders Optic.
Wow.
Rookie year, but I remember that getting pulled live at the store and just being like, whoa.
Would you do you offer to buy that right on the spot, or do you?
No, I knew the guy wasn't going to sell it. You know, like I know the guy. I know him very well. He's a good customer, comes in a lot, and he's the kind of guy that's like, I'm going to grade it, and then I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah. Your thoughts on grading a 101, by the way?
Man. I mean, I think you kind of just do it just like mainly to authenticate the card.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, because with all the
backdoors and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because, I mean, you get people that walk in with fake Jordan rookies, and they're like, yeah, what are you looking to pay? It's like, come on, man. But, you know, I think that's the main thing. Obviously, if it looks clean, maybe just go for the grade, you know. Yeah. But if it has noticeable issues, you're just, you know, there was a guy that brought in a Bryce Young, the score one, like Gem Masters Black from this year, 101. Not a huge card, but still cool.
Yeah.
And it was graded PSA 7. I ended up picking it up from him, but like it's a 7, you know, like it's, I almost would rather just see authentic.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm torn on that, to be honest with you, because I try to collect just 9s, because I feel like if I get a 10, I'm probably just going to flip it so I can get more 9s, but that's just me. But then if I see 8 or 7, I'm like, maybe I'd rather just have this in a one touch, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that the main thing for like a card, like, you know, like a rookie card or something that's a 101, that is probably just for authentication purposes. You know, so like
you mentioned...
eBay and stuff.
Yeah. You mentioned that someone, like a customer comes in with something like a fake Jordan rookie or whatever. As a card shop owner, I'm always curious about this. Like, you guys see a lot of collections, a lot of cards, people are coming in. I take it you're always buying, right? So like,
You
want to sell. So when they bring you something that you know might be fake, or you know is fake, or something that's too good to be true, how do you handle like someone bringing in something where you're like, some maybe a red flag or two, you know, antenna, they stick out. Like, what do? Do you buy it? Do you not buy it? Do you let them know? I mean, how do you, what is there anything like that has happened to your shop?
Oh yeah. You're going to get stuff that walks in, you know, where you're just like, this isn't adding up. This doesn't make sense. And I kind of just, you know, if I don't feel comfortable, I'm not going to do the deal. You know, a lot of the people that I'm buying from are people that I do know and I've dealt with, you know, doing the shows for 20 years, I have a pretty good, you know, group of people that come through that are constantly, you know, either buying, flipping, ripping, you know, needing, you know, wanting to, you know, sell cards, store credit, whatever, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, new guys that come in that rip a bunch of stuff that only collect, you know, say Lions, and they're ripping all these football boxes. They don't want all these, you know, AJ Brown auto or whatever it be. And they want store credit to rip more. You know, that's kind of like how I do it. There's been countless amounts of times that I've had, you know, deals walk in where I'm like, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't feel right. And I just pass, politely pass and move on. I mean, you just don't know, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, like I get, it kind of seems like with any business, if it's too good to be true, it probably is, right?
Oh, 100%.
Have you had fake Jordan rookies come through and things like that?
I've had one guy like opens up his coat and he's got like seven of them in his hand before he even like got them up to me. I already said, well, those are fake. Cause I could just tell looking at them. Like the print quality was so bad. It was like, you know, cause you can go on eBay and buy them for $5 or whatever, you know, all day. And they don't even say like reprint or anything on them.
It's terrible. Or they might write like RP or something where you don't notice or something like that.
Right. I mean, it's the card. I've handled a bunch of that 86, 87 Fleer over the years. And I know I can pretty much spot a fake instantly.
Uh-huh. This guy's like, I got seven of them in my hand.
Yeah. It's like, have you seen these before? I'm like, oh man, come on.
What do you say to someone like that?
I just said, yeah, but those don't look to be real. Those are probably reprints. You know, I mean, like, what am I going to do? You know, I can't, you know, you bring me, you grade them with PSA, bring them back, I'll buy them.
Yeah. All right. do you do grading at the store or anything? Do you subs? Or
no,
do
you just... I don't. It's a big old operation for me. Like, it's a lot of work. And I'm trying to concentrate more on singles and do that. And down the road, would I like to do it? Yeah, for sure. But just for me right now, I'm still looking to, you know, down the road, I've got a couple guys that I have in mind that are going to hopefully help me out here soon. So maybe once I get those couple guys aboard, that's something that we could look into doing. But my biggest thing right now is to get more singles out and get my website up and going.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of local card shops are just lagging behind in the singles department. Like they got to get them in and out. I think like when I go to a lot of... And I try to go to a card shop in different areas. You know, I hit up a lot of them, you know that. Mm-hmm. And I'll see a lot of the same cards all the time and just mm-hmm. sitting in there. And I'm just, to me, it's you're wasting space. I don't even know, you know. Yeah. That's inventory. That's floor space, you know. It's
for sure.
You're running a shop or a museum, so.
Yeah. You get, and then, you know, like if they got them sitting under those lights, a bunch of faded autographs and... You know, the cards I've noticed, even like at a couple cards that they must have just missed the rotation. If they're sitting under those lights in your showcases for that long, they start fading. And that's when, you know, you kind of can tell like, oh, man, this card hasn't been moving. We need to get this out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, back to the grading real quick. I know like it's a numbers game because you are a business. If it's worth it for you to do group submissions and things like that, do you feel like you have also a responsibility? Like people have given you all these cards and like, where are my cards? I need them back and all this.
Yeah. Yep. So like I personally submit cards to PSA and I've got a few people that have asked me over the time that hit a couple big cards and I will, you know, grade them for them. And before I even had the shop, I would send stuff in for buddies and stuff. And even buddies would be like, dude, where's my cards? When are they coming back? Have you heard anything? And it's like, man, come on, dude. Like, you know, the rule, you know, the deal. It's like when they're here, I'm going to let you know, like it's I'm not just like, they're not just sitting somewhere, you know, like I didn't get them back and just not tell you.
Yeah, right. But then imagine that those are your friends. Imagine it's strangers, customers, you know.
It's a tough, you know. I have a couple buddies of mine that have shops that are, you know, kind of not in Michigan, but one of them is adamant on, you know, not doing the grading and just referring him to other people. Like I refer all of my customers to the Havro Cards. He sets up at the Troy show. He does PSA submissions. I just, you know, it's a local guy where they can drop him off and he's on the PSA side. He's trustworthy. I've even sent stuff through him just to see if I can get better grades through him, you know, and just to test it out. And, my other buddy, he's it's great, man. It's awesome. And he hired his own guy that handles all the grading. They do PSA. They do SGC. They do Beckett. They even do the local guy Kuntz's ISA grading. They do everything there, uh-huh. You know, and they love it. And they actually charge people like $2 to review a card.
Huh. And do they do like prep and all that stuff on the card as well?
Yeah, they do all that stuff. So he's got a pretty big operation like for that. I think he gets several thousand cards a month.
Wow, that's a lot of cards. Yeah, to
yeah,
through, you know. Before I let you go, I know you're very knowledgeable in the hockey market. I'm looking to maybe, I don't do a ton of hockey at all, but I think I want to buy one, a box to rip on the YouTube channel. Any recommendations for me? I'm going to come see you. Any new product coming out that I should maybe think about getting? And so, like, I want a Connor Bedard, man. Give me one, an auto, a number. How do I get one? I want one of those 36.
Yeah. So maybe I'm tapped out on the Artifacts product, but
I'm going to stay away from that one.
I don't know if I'm going to get three of the 36, but the next big one that everybody's, you know, talking about is going to be the Upper Deck Series 2. So it's going to have Connor Bedard's Young Gun, which is kind of like the standard rookie card for hockey. There's not autographs of that card, but the card itself will probably be $500 to $800.
Wow.
There's parallel versions.
That's
of
just
that.
For a base rookie.
Yeah. Well, it's a short print. So like it's a 50 card Young Gun set and there's six per box.
Okay.
So the rule is one or two per case.
Okay.
And then there's going to be like, an exclusive version out of 100. They do a high gloss out of 10. They do a clear cut. That's like an acetate. And then this year, for the first time ever, they have the 1 of 1 Young Gun. So I'm going to assume that somebody's probably going to throw some crazy bounty out there like that week of, or the week, you know, prior to the release. It comes out February 28th. That is going to be a crazy hot product. I even have people from Canada calling me about the product, and I tell them I can't sell to Canadians because that's the Upper Deck dealer, the diamond dealer policy.
But can they come across the border?
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And just get it then, basically.
I mean, how am I supposed to know where they're from?
You know,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. they're just there. Can you ship here? No, we can't ship.
No, you can't ship there. But
yeah. No, it's a 180-day rule. So,
what about, okay, you just brought up, I'm glad you brought this up, the bounties. How do you feel about bounties and private offers for cards? Do you think that's a good or bad thing for the hobby?
Well, I think that definitely gets excitement for the product. I think that definitely is going to get more people ripping the product for sure. It's just interesting that, you know, I think it was the Topps Chrome Update Baseball. They had a couple big bounties out there. I think it was the Volpe. They did those Major League Debut 1 of 1 auto patches.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. Those are, yeah.
Yep. And they had Volpe was like 150,000 and Walker was like 100 grand. And I don't think any of those got hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a little leery about those kind of bounties because I wonder, like, well, what's going on there? You know, it definitely, you know, is going to bring up the excitement. People are going, oh, yeah, the bounty. You know, that's I hear that talk all the time, the Tom Brady card for the Bowman draft, you know.
Yeah.
The problem is I think it just raises the cost of the boxes, you know, and then it just becomes like, what are we doing type thing? Why are we opening these?
Well, also, like, if you do pull the card, if you're that lucky and you decide not to take the bounty or whatever, and you put it on auction, and it goes well below the bounty. Like, how does that affect the boxes and the cards from there moving forward?
Well, I got to imagine that anybody that hits any of these bounties is taking the bounty because they're priced so crazy, staggering above what the card's actually worth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember the one was the Drew Jones that got pulled out of Bowman, $250,000 for the Super Fractor autograph rookie card. And I want to say maybe, I mean, he's, you know, 18 years old playing rookie ball. And I think he got hurt and was out for the season when it got pulled. You know, so like you would be like, I mean, like you'd have to be Mike Trout, right? For it to be worth more than the bounty.
That's crazy. Like that's the thing about the product now. Like the hobby is, I don't think ever been more alive, right? Like the hype and just the product buying and the products coming out. But then also, The price is like built in so much to this stuff now, you know? Like, you said he had to be Mike Trout. Mike Trout doesn't get that price. Yeah, he's Mike Trout.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the cost of the hobby boxes are just, they've gotten so just, it doesn't really add up a lot of times with like what the secondary market, you know, shows you with singles. And it gets to be, you know, you're chasing what, five cards out of the product that everybody would want to hit. And
yeah, it
just the realistic is that it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. And that's why
that's where the 30-40% fun factor comes in.
Yeah, exactly. And collect within your means, you know, if you collect what you love 100%. And within your means, you can't go wrong. So remember, it's fun. It's a hobby. So
Yeah, singles.
Well, Jason, man, I appreciate it a lot, man. It was a good talk, man. I can't wait to we'll have you back on. Will you come back on?
Yeah, for sure, man. 100%.
All right. Can you let people know one more time, maybe the phone number where your shop's located and all your socials?
Yeah. So, like I said, we're in downtown Clawson. We're at 18 South Main Street. We are like right next to Magic Wonderland, which has been there for like 25 years, and the Whiskey Taco Foxtrot, and there's Cave Coffee right there. Our store phone number is 248-291-6265. Or you can just send us like a Facebook message or a DM on Instagram if you have any questions.
Yeah, it's a great store. I've been there. Very reasonable prices. Jason has a ton of stuff in shop, singles, wax, like we mentioned. They'll update you on trade nights when they get those going. Those are really popular usually. I will try to make it out to a trade night, Jason. I appreciate your time, man. And everybody, like I said, if you enjoyed the podcast, please refer it to a friend. I'm on Odyssey, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, keep collecting.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.